Now, my grandmother, in the mountains of Virginia, I grew up in southwestern Virginia, not southwest Virginia. There's a difference. We could see West Virginia from where we're at, and we put our outhouses on top of the mountain, as opposed to those guys who live in West Virginia. Theirs is about halfway down, so don't confuse West Virginia with southwestern Virginia. But Grandma, the kids either called her Mama or Grandma Doni, and she was really good about figuring out relationships. I mean, and she would go through there. She would go, well, let's see. Now, Aunt Elsie was a Snavely before she married Uncle Roy. And Uncle Roy came from, and she would go through this. She knew who had been born, who had died, what was the order of the babies, who was the second cousin, first cousin, third cousin. She knew all those things. Matter of fact, whenever I introduced her to my wife-to-be, Kim happened to mention what her grandmother's last name was. And Grandma was trying to figure out a way to make us related. Don't do that, Grandma. But today we're going to talk a little bit about relationships. And I've entitled the sermon, My Relation to the Incarnation. Of course, that is the first coming of Jesus Christ. And way of his introduction, we're going to look at the story found in Matthew. Verses 18 through 25. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary, who had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and not willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, we saw that up here, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and she called his name Jesus. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask that you would add your blessing to it. Amen. All right. Now, the book of Matthew is a book about relations. It is a book that is written to the Jewish people. It is the Jewish gospel. And it even starts out with what we call the begats. You know, we don't go through those too often because they're long. But, you know, it was important because it showed relation and relationship. And that was important about who Jesus was, especially to the Jewish people. Now, Joseph, we can look on there, and here's what we know from the passage. He was a just man. He was from the right family. He was contemplative. He was receptive, and he was the namer of our Lord. Now, when we talk about a just man, that even refers to he was just according to the laws of God. When you look at it as a family man, he was in the right family. He was of the line of David. And, you know, it was one thing when he found out Mary was with child, he didn't just automatically claim his right to have her shamed, but it says he considered. And think about that. He's considering sending it Mary away, divorcing her very quietly, and he has a dream where the angel of the Lord comes and talks to him. Wow. He was receptive, and because he was a righteous and a just man, it touched his heart, and he knew that this was a word from the Lord. And he also, you know, he was the one, he gave Jesus his name. He says, and you shall call him Jesus. And there's something else we look in there. He gave him not just his name, Jesus, but he gave them his name of the family. They would later on say, well, isn't he the carpenter's son? We might even look at Joseph as perhaps a stepfather. But Mary doesn't tell us too much about her, but we can look at Scripture. She was willing. Angel of the Lord came to her, and it's like, Lord, let your will be done. She was a very brave woman when you think about it because, well, she could have been sent away. She could have been stoned. And think about it. She's having to tell her parents and Joseph, and you know, if word is getting out there that, well, she's pregnant. But she hasn't been formally married. After she would give birth, she'd be very much involved in Jesus' ministry. Matter of fact, the first miracle that he did, you know, turned the water into wine. What is it? You know, she looks at her son and says, "Hey, they're out of wine." And he doesn't say, "All right, Mom, I'll do it." He says, "Woman, my hour hasn't yet come." And what does Mary do? She goes, tells her, "Whatever he tells you to do, you do it." A little pushy there, wasn't she? She followed all. She was faithful in Jesus' ministry. She was there in the beginning, and she was there at the end. She was there in the upper room. She's the chosen mother. Well, we want to look at what the scripture tells us. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign." Here's what Matthew read. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, that is so important to us. The name. And it means God with us. And so today we're going to look at what that actually means to us. Emmanuel, God is with us. What does this mean? What did this mean practically, or what does it mean practically? And you know, what is your relationship to the God-man Jesus? And who is Jesus to you? Now, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I thought this up. I think it's going to be neat. We're going to try this. I might even have to preach after this if we all do it right. But we have a portion of Scripture to read. And you're going to look up there and you're going to know what your part is because it has been underlined. It has been bolded. And it has been placed in some special letters. And matter of fact, I'm going to point at you or point at the audience whenever it's your turn. Now, take a look here. I think everybody can guess what it is you're supposed to say. Yes. We see underlined, we see fancy letters, we see them italicized. And so what I'm going to do is I will point. I'll read the rest of the words. But every time I point, I want you to read what is underlined, okay? Okay? Okay, there we go. All right, is everybody ready?
Yes.
Very good. All right.
He is
the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rules or authorities. For all things were created
through him
and
for him.
For
he is
before all things, and
in him
all things hold together. And
he is
the head of the church,
he is
the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in him he might be preeminent. For
in him
all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and
through him
to reconcile
to himself
all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of
his cross.
Amen.
Woo!
I got excited, messed that up there. Oh. So we're going to look at what our relation to the incarnation is. And this is something important that we need to get our minds around. Now, Paul writing this may have been original to Paul, or this may have been an early church creed, a song or a poem. And actually in the original language, it has some rhyme, it has some meter to it. It's three parts, and each part ties it together with the other one. So this was either an early confession, or a song, or maybe both. Let's take a look at this. He is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All right. What we need to know above all, if we are to grow as Christians, increasing in wisdom, power, patience, and thanksgiving, is the centrality and supremacy of Jesus Christ. The more you get to know and know about Jesus Christ, the more you will understand who the true God is and what he has done, and you, as a result, that what that means to live in and for him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Man, think about it. The image of the invisible? That's kind of hard, isn't it? You think about those words. But you know what? Let's go back. And you know, one thing, you have to follow threads throughout the whole Bible. God said in the beginning, let us make man in our image and likeness. You see, that was God's original plan, was for man to be in the image of God. And we were to be the image bearers on the earth. We were part of God's family. Just as God had a family in heaven of all the angels and all the seraphims and all the, you know, all the angelic beings and heavenly hosts. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were still there. And it was not like boss to employees or king to serfs, but it was a family of God. And God created man on the earth to be his family on the earth. And he wanted us to carry the image of the divine. Just as we have borne the image of man of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the man of heaven. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we are supposed to be God's image bearers on the earth. And God, through Jesus Christ, through his indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, wants to facilitate like this. And so we take a look at this. He is the image of the invisible God. You know, this was something that we could wrap our heads around. God appears on the earth as the reproduction of God in heaven. Notice, Jesus has always been, but he did not always have a physical body. He appears on the earth, born in a manger, born to die. He became the reproduction of God on the earth. He was God manifest in the flesh. And so this makes it able for him to image the invisible. We don't know what God looks like. The Bible doesn't tell us. God is a spirit. And what does it say? God is invisible. And so in order for us to relate to who God is, he appears on the earth as Jesus to become the Christ. He is the firstborn. Now some people look at that and say, well, you know, that kind of gives him a beginning. But firstborn is not in the context of order, but of preeminence. He is the firstborn. He is above all things. He is before all things. And the firstborn ranks him as the beginning of all things. Now, what's our relationship to the image of the invisible God? Jesus is our model, and we are the imitators. You see, Jesus appears on the earth as the image of the invisible God. We are to take a look at that image of the invisible God and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters of God the Father. So, let's see. Jesus, the uncreated one. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rules or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. All right. You know, this tells us there are two types of things in this universe. There's uncreated things and there's created things. What would be an example of, you can answer this question out loud. What would be an example of something that is uncreated? God. God appears in his relationship of Trinity. Who is God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are uncreated. God is a Trinity. When we take a look at it, he says he created all things. All things in heaven and on earth. He said he created things visible. Well, that would be you and I. That would be dogs, cats, lions, the minerals, the mountains, everything visible. It says that he created all things that were invisible too. And he gives one thing in there, which he says thrones, which means that God has established rulership. Now, all those other things I talked about, the invisible that he created, deal with the supernatural world, deal with angels and spirits, the sons of God. All the other things that we've studied about throughout the year, Jesus created all the invisible things in the world through him and for him. All things were created. Now, for those people who kind of wrestle with the idea of who Jesus is, and some people have the idea because he was born that he had a beginning, but it says all things were created through him or by him, visible and invisible. So if he creates all things, and all things were created through him, then he could not have been created. Jesus has always been. He appears as a baby in a manger, but Jesus the Son was responsible for all of creation. And notice, all of creation was for him. All things were created through him and for him. So the only thing that was uncreated was the Trinity. Everything else was created by Jesus Christ. And so, what's our relationship to the uncreated Son of God? You and I were created for him. Notice it says, all things were created for him. You, my friend, were created for Jesus Christ. Not for yourself. Not for some lofty idea or from low idea. You have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus created you especially for himself. Amen. Think about that. And he is before all things. And in all things, and in him, all things hold together. Put another way, before any created thing, I am. Jesus takes the name of deity in the Gospel of John. And Paul is restating it this way. Before any created thing, he was there. So Jesus is the great I am. As God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. And Moses says, who shall I say sent me? He said, and tell them I am sent you. Many centuries later, the Jews would ask him about who he is, and he would say, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is God, very God, God made in flesh. And so we look at this. What is he? He is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. All things were created by him. And it is his presence that actually holds all things together. Without Jesus in the world, nothing would exist. Everything would fly apart. There would be no atoms to join with each other. No atoms to join together to form elements. No elements formed together to make compounds. All things would cease to exist because Jesus is the creator and the sustainer. He is the radiance and the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Paul would preach an evangelistic message by saying, in him we live and move and have our being, and for we are indeed his offspring. We are created by him and for him and through him to be with him. Our relationship to Jesus, we are because he is. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might have preeminence. He is the foundation of the church. It says he is the head of his body, which is the church. He is the beginning of the church, the originator. He is the source of the church. He is the firstborn of the dead, which speaks about his resurrection from a truly dead state. And he is preeminent. Preeminent within the church. Everything in the church should revolve around the lordship, around the deity of who Jesus is. Our relationship to him as the head of the church, this is easy. We submit to his authority. What is the, how does the Bible tell us to? Now, one thing we often think about the church, well, that's the universal church. And of course, Jesus is the head of the universal church. But you know what? Jesus is most definitely head of Family Christian Center. Amen. And we are to submit to the will of the Lord as revealed in his Holy Scripture. And that is where the authority comes from. You are the body of Christ. You are the church. Each one of you is being built up into a holy nation, into a church, into a priesthood. And we submit to the will of Jesus. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood on the cross. It states that God's will for the Messiah, which is for him to have the fullness of deity to be revealed in Jesus Christ, and the reconciliation of all things through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. You know, this concept is restated three times. It says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority." He is the image of the invisible God. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells." So I mentioned it three times. I mentioned it three times for emphasis. Colossians 1:15, it says he's the image of the invisible God. That word in the original language is the exact copy of who God is. Quite often used for the instrument that they used to mint out coins. It made an exact copy. So Jesus is an exact copy of God. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That fullness means complete, total quantity. In him was the complete, total quantity of God. Not a lesser being, not a created being, but of God, very God. And finally, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. There was just one word that was changed in that from verse 19. The whole fullness. Well, fullness means complete, total quantity. And in the original language, the next one means the totality of kind or sort. The whole quality of God. The whole quality of divinity. Jesus is not a lesser being. Jesus is not a lesser God. Jesus is not a created being. But he is God, very God. Full quantity. Full quality. He is God made flesh. And you know, for this has to be true. Jesus is God. Physically on the earth by the will of the Father. God had to come down in flesh to reconcile you to himself. God comes down in flesh as Jesus Christ and offers himself up as a sacrifice for your sins. God has to make an atonement for you. We sin. Adam sinned. Everybody has sinned since Adam. And in order for all the sins of the world to be reconciled, God himself has to die for the rules that we as mankind have broken. Nobody else could take the sins of the whole world upon him except God, very God. Jesus on the cross bore your sins. Reconciliation is possible because Jesus is God. Our relationship? Oh, we've been set free. Though we are have the beneficiaries of that restorative work. Your chains have been broken. You are now at peace with God. And you can be, and you are, a child, a son, and a daughter of God. Our takeaway? Relationship is paramount. Just as Matthew went through his gospel, told the relationship of Jesus, your relationship to God is so important. We don't become Christians by just reciting something and put in the club. But God himself paid for you to be admitted into his family. He wants you to be a child of his. Who we are is defined by our relationship. Are you going to be a child of God? Are you going to be a son of God? Who you are is defined by relationship. My friends, you're either a child, you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. There is no other classification. We are defined by our relationship with the image of the invisible God. And we are supposed to be in that close family relationship. We've talked about the relationship of the Christians to Abraham by faith. And you know what? This is how we enter into that relationship. It's not through saying something, but it is through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the God-man who took your sins and who makes it possible for you to become a child of God, for you to be grafted in, to be adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because we are part of the family, that means that we're supposed to be in a family relationship to one another, as well as to God our Father. And one of the important things for this message is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is also our God. My friends, I want us all to wrap our heads around that. Our Lord and Savior is our God. Jesus died for your sins. And being God, very God, he was able to take the full penalty for your sins. And because he was God, very God, he did not stay dead and in the grave. But he rose again. And he has ascended back to his Father, who is also our Father, by faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had this morning, Lord, to come and to celebrate. Now, Lord, may we continue our celebration. Lord, may we celebrate as family. And Lord, may we celebrate as forgiven. Now, Father, for the food that we're about to receive, Lord, we ask that you would bless it. And I thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. My friends, I bless you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go eat. And watch out, I made spicy turkey.